With words like justice, redeem, arise, and the term indictment mentioned twice, and the use of the phrase pleading your case, it's hard not to read or listen to the Old Testament reading from Micah and not think of a courtroom setting. The heading over this section in the Lutheran Study Bible labels it as the indictment of the Lord. For most of us, other than maybe Darwin and Ramona, this may be a little fuzzy as to its meaning. An indictment is a formal charge or accusation of a serious crime, or a thing that serves to illustrate that a system or situation is bad and deserves to be condemned. I couldn't help but think of Jack McCoy, assistant district attorney, bringing an indictment against some guilty as sin scoundrel who is sitting there next to his slimy defense attorney with this big grin on his face, sure that he is going to get away with his heinous crime yet again. The TV show Law & Order, which has been hugely popular throughout the years, has been on our TV many, many times. It ran originally for 20 seasons from September of 1990 through May of 2020. I recently read that the show has been revived, and a new season with some of the original characters premiered in February of 2022. But the opening of today's show that we heard in Micah is not called Law and Order, but is called Law and Gospel. And today, standing in for the famous Jack McCoy and district attorney, is none other than the Lord himself. Verse 1 says, "Hear what the Lord says." Now picture the courtroom, the wood paneling, the jury box, the judge's bench, the throne where the judge sits. You can see the witness stand, the defendant's table, the plaintiff's table, the rail that separates the official proceedings from where the public sits, the swinging door or gate, all in that deep, rich amber color of wood that only comes with age. And the Lord God is there speaking to the defendant Israel as judge and prosecutor. Arise, plead your case. Who are they pleading their case before? Who is the jury? The jury is made up of mountains and hills, the foundations of the earth, nonetheless. But why these? We turn to Psalm 50 for our answer, starting at verse 1. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is the judge. The mountains and the foundation of the earth have been there since the beginning of time. They have observed God's faithfulness to his people. They are rock solid in their knowledge, in their witness. They could take the stand in God's defense to all that he has done for his treasured people. He has brought them out of slavery in the land of Egypt, delivered them from the hands of the Pharaoh, brought them through the Red Sea, showed them his will, given them his rules to live by, gave them meat and bread to eat, water to drink in the desert, saved them from marauding kings bent on their destruction. And yet, this redemption was not enough for them. The saving acts of the Lord were not enough for the Israelites to love the Lord their God only. At the time of the writing of the book of Micah, the Israelite people had been rebelling in the land of the northern and southern kingdoms for 500 years. The kings and the leaders were corrupt. Paying bribes to get their way was the norm. Theft and corruption were commonplace. If you paid the prophets enough, you could get them to offer God's promise over anything. And the people believed it. But for them, God was a God out of many. The worship of the Canaanite gods Baal and Asherah ran rampant among the Israelites. Wicked King Rehoboam built two golden calves, placed them in the temples of the northern cities of Bethel and Dan, so the Israelites wouldn't travel to the southern kingdom of Jerusalem to worship. Now, I understand it's been 500 years, but you would think someone would remember what happened the last time they made a golden calf. Now, the Israelite people have spiraled further and further from God, and now God has had enough. It's time to convict the Israelites of their apostasy. And he does. He lays it out before them like a district attorney at the top of his game. And who could make a defense for a case like his? What sort of argument could you muster? Is there no plea? Is there no deal to be had? No restitution that could be paid? That is the case for the defense attorney, Micah. He picks up at verse 6 with the following and says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul?" You can hear the desperation in his voice. He has nothing, absolutely nothing, to defend the people of Israel with. They are guilty. The jury doesn't need to deliberate. The verdict is written in stone. Now, the judge has much to say in his decision on the case. It is written down for us. So we again turn to Psalm 50 for his decision. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." But to the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your mother's own son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." The guilty sentence is handed down. And with that, the condemned are led away by an army of Assyrian bailiffs into captivity. hands and feet in chains, heads down, eyes wet with tears. The courtroom clears quickly amid the many conversations of how unfair this actually all was. They didn't know. They weren't given a chance. What about their rights to choose for themselves how to live? Once outside, the district attorney stands at the top of the steps and overlooks the angry crowd. They press in on him, fists shaking, demanding an answer for the injustice that happened in the courtroom. Injustice? Injustice, Jesus cries. You have been told what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. But that was too much. No one was going to accuse us of doing those things or not doing those things. So we dragged him from the podium, whipped him, and hung him on a cross until he was dead. Funny thing is, we heard him forgive us right before he died. God pronounced us not guilty. I don't know about you, but that changes things. I wasn't worthy of that. I was guilty, guilty of sin. But being forgiven changes things. That makes me want to see justice done and love kindness. Who am I to stand before a God like that? I can't. All I can do is fall on my knees and plead for mercy. That makes me want to live a life for him and unto him. Law and order? No. Law and gospel. Micah's book, which seems to be all about conviction for the Israelites, has at the very end, in the last three chapters, a glimpse of pardon. Starting at verse 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Micah chapter 7. We too have that same promise by faith in the forgiveness of sins won for us by the death of our defender, Jesus Christ. Take hold of that promise and live as a pardoned criminal, declared not guilty, doing justice, loving kindness, walking with your God to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.